a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Okay. TJ, you had the same four teams meeting in the semi-finals for 4 years in the Trots, but they're four great teams, to say the least. Now, I didn't, because of all the games clashing, I could only really watch Napiercik and Patrick's well. So, great win for Doon against Kilmallock. TJ, again, against the odds, bad enough being down possibly one of the best defenders in the country in Richie English. But then to be dealt a hammer bro of Dara Donovan not being recovered. I don't know how he'll be fixed for 2 weeks' time. But she's like, they'd be their two standout Limerick players. And to be down those and to come up with such a big win, real statement that maybe I wouldn't have expected from Doon in the past. Like, that there might have been excuses there before the game. But they stepped up. And like the likes of Pat Ryan, as well as a lot of the younger brigade, maybe new, who hadn't maybe the pass. I'm talking about, you know, maybe Josh Ryan, Jack Ryan, Mikey O'Brien, you know, took up central roles. Jack Ryan, obviously, with two goals. Mikey stepping into the centre-back role, which I know from him at Limerick Minor. He's well able to play probably his natural position in some ways. But a huge win for them.
Yeah, massive win, you call it right there. And it would have been seen as a little bit of a shock because I think Kilmallock were short enough price favourites. They had been impressive in the early rounds of the championship. And you know, I did see the game, and just to talk about what yourself, about watching games, it was a tough day Saturday myself. I was at a commune, and you know, luckily enough, I was getting well fed and kind of watered for the day. So I tried to watch two games in Limerick, two games in Kilkenny, some of the racing from Leopardstown and Liverpool and Leeds. And I'll try and get all of them in a Saturday afternoon.
You managed to give us a loser in Leopardstown
too. I did, I gave you a loser in Leopardstown. But to go back to the game, like, it would have been seen, like, to lose Richie English at the start of the year, to lose Dara Donovan again to a knee injury, and I don't know how significant that knee injury is for the latter part of the year, would have been as a real hammer blow for Doon. But they're getting a tune out of these guys. I would have been one of the guys who questioned Doon. They've never won a senior championship in Limerick. And for as long as I can remember, in 20 years, they've been one of the clubs at underage that have been to the forefront. Dale, you know this, at every underage group all the way up in Limerick, in every group, in all teams, there's a good Doon contingent who can
hurry. There's a carload every time.
Their schools are very good. They're very focused. Their pitch, their facilities are very good. They do everything right, and they're questioning why they haven't. But there's something different about this time. I'm going to just touch on one small thing about the way the format of the championship worked in Limerick, right? Was they started the end of July with three weekends of hurling, right? Then they took a break and played three weekends of football. Right, and then after that, right, they had the quarterfinals and then the semi-finals, right? So it looks like it was a disadvantage for Patrickswell and for Kilmallock, right? They have 5 weeks with no game. Now, in Limerick as well, we were locked down, we couldn't play a challenge match outside the county. So, yes, now look, it's difficult for Kilmallock today. And Tony Constantine told me myself a long time ago, TJ, when you start making excuses, you're in trouble. So, you can't look at that. You have to be credit for doing here, right? Jack Ryan got two goals. Incidentally, straight after boat water break, so the timing was good. And the other huge factor for Doon was Pat Ryan. He scored 7 points from play. He came to the table. He's paced. He hurt Kilmallock in a major, major way. As Mark alluded there, any forward who's getting 7-8 points from play, like, that's a match-winning performance, time in and time. And like that was just a major play for them. But great win for Doon. It would have been seen as a surprise, and they're back in the final again. They played the final against the Patriots 2 years ago with massive results. The other one, like, again, the Patriots would have been favourites. I think the Patriots getting beat by Kilmallock early on might have been actually a favour for them. They would have been seen the quarterfinals to kind of get their house in order. They were ready for the well. They started very well.
Fellas back as well, TJ. You know,
fellas back as well.
I know, yeah. Shane Dowling obviously been a massive loss to any club team, but fellas like Carl King, Alan Dempsey. Big men for them.
Inter-county players like Phil, and their defence was definitely stronger as well. The performance of David Dempsey up top, I know he scored a goal, but he also...
Brilliant goal.
I don't know how he finished next year.
Incredible goal.
And he could have got two more. Great save by Brian Murray there in the first half. But you would have to say they looked like they were getting a little bit of a grip in the game just before half-time. They had gone the 5 points up 14-9. Sean O'Brien was sent off for the well just on the stroke of half-time to the second yellow cards. little bit harsh, I thought, Dello. I'm not sure which was.
Hard
to see it properly from the streaming, but that definitely was a factor. And then Duane Pearce had used the ball, playing against him with a man down was also going to be difficult for him. Well, in the second half. Well, I got the feeling that Napiershi had this. I thought they were moving slickly. They had 14 points on the board. It looked like they were kicking into gear. And I would say there's no doubt they'll be favourites. Like Dune, Dara Dunneman is a big factor heading for the final next weekend. The final is fixed for Saturday night. I do believe it's on RTE on Saturday night. So it will be a good game to look forward to. It is a pity for Dune, and it's a little bit of a setback that they're missing their two good players. But as you said, the weekend, there are other players. Sometimes it's really, really focused the mind. They can really step up to it. And as I said, I'll just question the 5-week break for the other boys.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. And I watched all of that and I enjoyed it now. You know, I'd be familiar with an awful lot of them. Again, I mentioned Dune, Newfoula stepping up. Napiersig, we think it a great team. You know, they had and still have a lot of them, obviously. And we mentioned King and Dempsey coming back. But, you know, for me, both Bylands, Tommy Grimes, Will Hinn.
Yeah.
Maybe names now that a lot of people know, because Conor Boylan obviously could also be playing with UCC, Gerard, I suppose, couldn't he? But, you know, and Tommy Grimes is not Ireland under 21 winner. But those guys took a bit more leadership than what you'd have expected in the past, because they had lost Kevin Downes. So I don't know if you'd heard anything, TJ, since about the extent of the injury.
Yeah, he actually works here with me. He got just a bad cut. There's nothing broken in his hand, but he has 12 stitches to his index finger, so he's going to be a doubt for the weekend.
And no, take him out.
Stitches, yeah.
Tin piano, kid.
Speaking of Boylan's, the other Boylan, Jerome Boylan, had a fine game in defence for the Pearson as well. Like, yeah. So, yeah, a lot of names there, and look, really slick up front. But look, the final is coming up. But Dale, before we move away from Limerick, big game the weekend, guys, planned. We've held our senior status after extra time. We got there. We had a good victory over Maroochydore. So a lot of young fellas coming through there. So that was the big game for us at the weekend. So we retain our senior status. And before we move away from guys' flat, right? A long number of years ago, about 10 years ago, I think, it was my first stint as being involved with guys' flat. We were in a relegation final again, right? And
are you in a lot of those?
We seem to be in a few. We had a couple of them there in a row, but we won that one as well. And just shortly after that, we were going on a stag. We were going to Galway on a stag, and most of the team.
You're good, you'd win most of those as well, I'd say.
You win most of those. As you can imagine, on a team player, when you're going to the stag, right, nearly all the team gets going. But just about maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the relegation final. So on the way on the bus, anyway, the boys start slagging me about getting the cash plan to a final, but it happened to be a relegation final and getting a bit sticking. Luckily enough, Frankie was in the bus as well, and Frankie was with me. And the previous year, Frankie was manager of the team, and we were actually in the relegation final as well, right? And Frankie won that as well, right? So after about maybe 3 or 4 minutes of giving me with a stick, right, Frankie was kind of trying to defend me. So the attention turned to him. So we're kind of saying, I don't know, you got us to the relegation final as well. And Frankie returned and says, I kept you up when Viagra wouldn't keep you up. And the last thing, Dale, was, in fairness, you probably had a small hand in as well. Kildaimo had a very good win. They're back in the senior ranks. They won the Premier Intermediate last night. They had a good win over Mungret. Great win for them. They've been knocking on the door for the last couple of years, and I know, Dale, you've had a bit of hand in their success, beating the semi-final 2 years ago by the winners, beating last year in the final, and finally getting the breakthrough. They have a couple of big players there. Kyle Hayes, captain of the side. Great result for them, and a good side, and they'll do well up senior.
Yeah, had no hand at all, acting or part this year, TJ. Probably that's why they won it. But yeah, no, was involved and they won the regular intermediate. Was giving them a hand. Edge is involved, is too strong. That I wouldn't have been going to games even, but I would have done a few sessions with them, you know. But Natal O'Grady obviously had a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
Of losing coach and Patrick Swell, but he was coach manager of Kildaimo Palace Kenry. So consolation, big consolation for Natal. And I know from a few of the boys down there, Councillor Emmett O'Brien and a few more,
yes,
who I know well, have been dying for this moment. And then to do it against the neighbours from in the road towards the city, Mungret, I'd say there might be, I don't know, does the bucket bar do a substantial meal this week, TJ? But they putting on €9 soup and sandwich today and tomorrow. It's a,
yeah, and like Mungret would have had the upper hand on Kildaimo in the underage ranks all the way up along. So yeah, big kudos for Kildaimo here. They have definitely been improving over the last number of years. Had some good underage teams. So big win for them. And before we move away, Dale, relegation, right? We have relegation in Limerick. I know it has been ruled out in some counties. I'm not sure where you're standing on that. It was difficult. Rubor went down. They actually lost one game in Derry in the year. So in the year that was, and the way the championship was set up, to be relegated is tough.
It is. It is. And look, it's, we are not that strong ourselves at the moment. I mean, we did improve, I think, as we went into the B championship and we won a game and we lost the semi-final of the B in extra time. But the big thing now in Clare is, while there was no relegation, the dread is there's two to go down next year. You know?
Okay, so, yeah.
And that was the trap door. You might have been keeping your eye on a couple of teams around you, but when there's two to go, you know, there won't be a relegation final. I tell you, the semi-finals of relegation next year will be fairly savage. And just the last thing, TJ, before we go off on Limerick, and you mentioned about the system and you know, 2-3 weeks of hurling, then on to football, but John Kiely now has it all over next Saturday night, and he has his boys back. Was there a bit of method in the madness there, I wonder?
And it would have been, and then they would have been trying to get this championship finished quick. Like, look, I know in Galway they just run it a week of football, a week of hurling, all the way through every second week to try and cater for all the players. Like, there's definitely a little bit of unfairness, as I said, for a team to wait 5 weeks. But certainly from an intercounty point of view, go back to what the lads are saying. And again, in Limerick, the intercounty players are starting to really crank up the gears. The good players, as I said, players making statements, players putting their hand up to John Kiely. No doubt he will be happy. I have seen a few of the games, but these guys are playing well. And outside of Darragh Donovan, to the best of my knowledge, all these guys are coming through. So he will be happy to have this over next Saturday night, get his players back, get them all dusted down and get ready to go.
Yeah, look, and obviously a huge final to look forward to. We'll all be able to watch it on RTE as well, which is great as well, you know. So Spike won't be getting any more €8 off me. If you meet him, you can tell him.
I'll let him know. No, I do believe, but maybe just method to Cork's madness here, right, is that the streaming in all counties is becoming very popular. So Cork rolling it out for free in year one might be the master stroke where they have everybody tied in, you know. And they kind of, you know them boys, they're a step ahead of the rest of us all, I think.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this time next year. We Mr. Landers on them. So, how many? Did you have 24,000 watching that quarterfinal there, Mark, last night at 10 euros a pop?
Yeah.
I'm bringing no, I went down to the local, did it on. I 3 pints for the same price. stop. Look, lads, I'll touch on Clare. I presume none of you saw the games and they were streamed. They were enjoyable. They were intense. The second one was definitely probably the better game. Six Mile Bridge did. Everyone suspected that Roy Guinness with David Reedy back were capable. Now, they beat him in the first round without Reedy by 5 points. But they met again then in the semi-final and Reedy was back and was flying it. He was really good in the quarter-final. And to be fair to him, hurled well again. Under tight restrictions as well. And Iroge, they led by a goal with slight wind. There wasn't a massive wind coming up towards half-time. And crucial moment, Danny Russell, the guy I mentioned earlier, who probably has all the talent and was really causing the Bridge full backline all sorts of trouble, got a brilliant goal, in fairness, you'd imagine, but got hauled down for a penalty. And like, it was nearly on the stroke at half-time. He didn't hit it that well. Like, we'll give Derek Faye in goal for the Bridge, was a top keeper, credit. But like, for me, if they went down the tunnel 2-10 to 10 points instead of 1-10 to 10 points, because it's amazing, the Bridge have 4 games played and haven't a goal scored and hardly threatened one yesterday. And you wouldn't come across that in a championship too often, Mark. You know,
no, definitely 4 games. And we had said it about the Pearshig action in Limerick that they hadn't scored goals at all. Like, you know, and David Dempsey came up with one and he was a like, goals have a huge part to play in any victory. And we saw it with Blackrock and Douglas. It was a point fest until Connolly stepped up and got the goal out of nothing, really. Like, you know, but was, the way he created it was fantastic and the way he finished it. But, like, any team that can get goals, and Dale, you'll probably touch on it in a minute in the Kilkenny Championship, like, the first thing that enters any fella's head, any forward, sorry, in Kilkenny is to go for a juggler.
Yeah, that's
brilliant.
Well, you'll be amazed with the Bridge. Like, when they line up, there's no full forward line, right? There's no one. Davy now, he's best. Everyone comes out. So there's no one inside the 45. Now they do drift in. Brian Curry is their main go-to guy and had a great game. In the second half, when they needed somebody to win one-on-two balls, like, and Niroga had Liam Curry back there, Gerard, you know, as a good defender, and Brian Lowen has great time for Liam. and like he still managed to get on ball, hold up the play, and they drew frees. And I suppose Iroge at that stage, a bit like Douglas, had wides then at crucial times. And the Bridge won frees, and Alex Morey is a great free taker. He's taken over from Niall Gilligan as the free taker. And people, as I said before on this show, wondered, would they be able to replace him? But the old experience of the Bridge, you know, that the know-how, but champions from last year, played the system and grounded out 17 points to 113, and they're back in that final. And they will now become... And credit to them, and Iroge really have improved. Of course, Gerry O'Connor... stepping back from the intercounty, got involved with Matthew Shannon, and they really look like, for the first time, Iroge haven't won a championship since 1990 in Clare, which is, for our capital town, you know, when you think about the cities, and you think about places like Tralee in the football, and you saw the Kilkenny teams, three city teams, you know, I know it's not a city, but it's a long time for the capital, but they now really do have three. And Shane O'Donnell was fairly well held by the Bridge, in fairness. But they now have probably three county players, which is, and they have a few more young fellas coming. And I think their time might be too far away in Clare. But the second one, lads, last night was the talking point, I think, really, yesterday evening, where Ballier would have gone in. Or they went in without one of their main forwards in Gary Brennan, who, the massive footballer, obviously international rules footballer, but he also is a monster, and O'Callaghan's Mills team that have kind of upset Aina Kildemona in a quarter final. They were in the relegation final in Clare last year. Like, in actual fact, it was next year they'd be gone down, because if you wind up in the final, as I said earlier. So for me, you know, hurling is mad, lads. You know, they started with 1-1 to no score, and we all look at this goal near the end. Aren't we all liable for this, TJ? And the talking points, and maybe young Hennessy in goal for Ballier doesn't make too many mistakes. He's a fine prospect, Oisin Hennessy. He should have handled the ball a bit better, and the goal came off it. But the concession of the 1-1 at the start is every bit as important as that goal in injury time, do you know? Yeah. And it's overlooked. And in fairness to Conor Henry, midfield for the Mills, he was nearly given a clean walk through for that goal. And it gave him a 4-point cushion, you know, into the wind. And I think we're inclined to overlook that as pundits at times, when we should absolutely be saying this was as crucial as that.
Mm. Yeah, and like, if you look at this, I was into the water break there, like Bellier had a nice lead. They looked like they were motoring well. I was following it there on the Twitter machine, like they were 113 to 110. Without that 1-1, that possibly could have been like 113 to 9 points, which is very significant, let's say, heading for halfway through the second half. But did the water break affect them? Did they seem to have huge momentum up to there, and it looked like as if they were going to want to win the game?
Well, I was doing a few notes, TJ, and I just wrote at the top of it, water breaks. They turned the game after each water break. But there was a pivotal moment before the second water break, in that Tony Kelly put on an exhibition again, 1-8 from play. Like we spoke earlier, you know, about fellas' individual feats, and we will talk about Kilkenny ones as well in a minute, but... 1-8 from play. But he was just after getting his goal, which he drifted in behind the half-back line, trademark, picked it up, put on the pin back the ears, as they say in rugby, and just in and buried it. And just shortly afterwards, when they were 4 ahead, he got a fairly similar opportunity and again got in. And this time he actually got in 1-on-1. But Killian Nugent in the Mills goal brought off a brilliant save. In that, like, he did hit it quite close to him, but it was a rocket. Stopped it, and the Mills went up the free field and won a free to bring it back to 3. And then the water break came, and it was, you know, there was momentum there, and they were geeing up by the goalie, and you know, funny things happened then. Tit for tat, 2 points in it, sort of. You still felt, I was texting a few of my friends over and back, what do you think? And they were saying, they'll do enough to have the experience with Jack Brown and Paul Flanagan at the back. But a couple of funny things happened. And Niall Deasy would be their regular free taker, and Deadeye Dick free taker got a slap in the hand, and he was being treated. And I suppose it was one that you'd expect Tony to put over in his sleep, Tony Kelly. But Tony stepped up to hit it and had an amazing wide, really, in the sense that he'd nearly hardly one wide, I think, from play. But that was a big lift for them. And shortly afterwards, then Deasy hit one of these incredible line balls that we saw hit more especially, I suppose, with Dixborough and Shane Stapleton. But brilliant line ball, hit the post, bounced down. Now it could have come to a Ballier man who would have buried it. But Hurling, again, as I've said, the madness of it. fell into, I think, Conor Cooney, the fullback's hand. He drove it up the field, won a free back to a point. And sometimes you get the feeling when all these things are starting to happen that it's not going to be their day. And you know, that's the way it finished up. And
Taylor, you know as well as I do, in the course of any game, right? You know, a ball here or a ball there can change the momentum at any stage, like, you know. And you know, we saw a game over the weekend in Cork in the intermediate grade. Ballincollig led Blarney by 10 points, I think, at half time, and coming down the stretch with 7 minutes to go, there was still 5 or 6 or 7 points up, like, and Blarney conjured up a victory. And I think you might be mentioning some of the, you know, the streamings and the, you know, some of the commentaries that are on there. And there's a great bit of commentary out there at the moment. And it's obviously a Blarney fella is doing it, because, you know, there was a fella, Pop Crowley, I think, got the goal late in the game. Like, and he said, Pop by name and Pop by nature. And he was Han Blarney, like, you know, it was brilliant stuff altogether, like, you know.
Was absolutely magic, and then they get the winner, and I can't think of the name of the lad that got the winner.
Paddy Power, and he was outstanding for UCC last night. He got the goal after.
Correct.
Yeah, 14 seconds. He just shows you the momentum behind fellas, like.
Paddy over the bar, Paddy over the bar, Paddy over the bar. He said three times, I think. We mentioned these Facebook streamings in other shows, and they've been they're just totally biased, but they're brilliant.
But actually, it is bringing the match into people's front rooms, and there's a huge amount of supporters. Like, Blarney have probably 10,000 people in around their community, and there won't be 500 or 600 people go to the match if they're allowed in, but there could be 2,000, 2,500 people tuning in at home. Yeah. And it's the young and the old, it doesn't matter, because the younger lads in particular, they may not go to a match. But if their buddy was playing, they say, look, lads, now, even though in the pandemic, they probably shouldn't be congregating in people's houses, but they will do that. Like, and I think the streaming, I hope it is here to stay, to be honest about it, because you're spreading the word, and we're promoting the game of hurling, which is what we want at the end of the day.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think it's been a massive success, especially we saw, as I said to you earlier on, a couple of the clubs coming together and tip, you know, when the total lockdown came in on the matches, saying, will we go halves on a streaming, and they're having a commentator for each side. That is magic altogether. We saw a Kilkenny one as well, TJ, when Walter Walsh got a slap. And he'll get an Oscar for that, your man said, like, you know. Even though he was probably above roaring for Walter in the All-Ireland last year, but he was having none of it when it came to club level, like, you know.
Yeah, but he also said, then, he's the last man back, it has to be a red card. And your man says, that's a soccer rule, it's not GA at all.
Yeah.
Daily having counties having their own TV station, maybe in 5-10 years down the road, with the fan zone, as I spoke about already, with some crack. We'll just move away from that point very briefly. The timing, right? And I know you might talk about referees and getting the extra time and the injury time around, right? But because the clock doesn't stop on the water break, right? It does kind of lead to a little bit of confusion. And this is one thing that we're happy around about in our team, right? Is the clock does now run into 64, 5, 6, 7, right? So realistically, seven. When you're looking at your watch, right, and someone could tell you there's 2 minutes to go, like, in theory from 58 to 60, right? But in theory, right, at 58, there's literally 10 minutes left. So the whole psychology of that, and as we head into the inter-county scene, I'm sure Gerard and their guys will be preaching to their fellas, is this is going to run into, like, in their case, 75 or 77 minutes. Like, so it will be a factor, and has been a major factor. How many games around all the counties we spoke about have been won in that injury time? I know there's been a significant number in Galway.
Yeah, and I know we spoke about that Antrim one last week. Yeah. We played 11 minutes to get the draw. And Lochiel, maybe it took something out of them, because Dunleavy, we watched that on TG Carr as well yesterday, trying to look over the head of the computer, and big win for Dunleavy, and a local derby there, and so the bragging rights around the Glens will be with them. And yeah, there'll be ferocious tension in Clare as well. You know, the Bridge and the Mills not having won it in donkey's years, and the Bridge really been the force since the 70s in Clare. And Niall Gilligan now would live right in Kilmurry, which would be, you know, he's in the Bridge Parish, obviously Kilmurry is, but that right touches up on the O'Callaghan's Mills, Kilkishan Parish, like, which they draw from. So there'll be great crack, I'd say, if the likes of himself and Fingers meet now when the reopening comes next Monday of the wet pubs, which there'll be a lot of down around that region. There'll be great slagging going on. I already got an invite for the celebration, some fingers last night, and a text. He hasn't texted me in about 3 months, like, but I got one last night. He said it was a bed in Kikishan for me when they did the business. So he's confident. They feel it's their year, and we'll be looking forward to that in Clare. As everyone will, Clare obviously have produced a lot of the big teams in Munster, as I said, over the years. Lads, we got a double header on RTE on Saturday afternoon. I know, Mark, you'll head off for the epic one. You'll get a chance to maybe see it again. But we start with the first one, though. A lot of people fancied O'Loughlin's, I suppose, on early season form.
Not just TJ.
They had beaten Ballyhale by 9 points, like, so without a doubt. But look, coming up, like, it was interesting that both pundits in the studio, I think, went for the Borough of Dixborough, and they'd be very knowledgeable, obviously, Lady Alberta and Jackie.
But both of them said one key thing to me, right? And that was something that I really picked up on it, is that he said both Jackie and Henry Shefflin said that the O'Loughlin Gaels forwards were too small to take on the defenders for Dixborough. And that was the first key thing for me. You know, I know O'Loughlin's had beaten Belly, but like we all know now that Ballyhale don't take the first couple of rounds of the senior championship or senior league as a Scotland Kilkenny too serious. It's only when they get down to the business end, when there's a possibility they might be knocked out, that they actually start to hurl. But both Henry and Jackie Terrell said their forwards are too small, they won't be able to physically take on the Borough backs, and that is exactly how it actually transpired now. I thought there was some very, very good performances on both times. You had a man, I think, by the name of Shane Stapleton Dela in your time in and I tell you this, he's some free taker, he's some man to score sideline balls. He was fantastic on Saturday.
Yeah, I was saying, I must clarify, did he get a league medal in 11? I'm not certain, but he certainly got a Leinster. I think he got a Leinster minor, I'm fairly certain now, but he definitely got a Leinster under 21. He would have been Liam Rush's club, St. Pat's Palmerstown, but they wouldn't be that strong, Palmerstown. They would have had the two boys, really. And I suppose since Shane left him, he met a Kilkenny girl and he's teaching down there now. And he was interviewed afterwards, I think, by Marty. He just had a new baby last week. A lovely, lovely lad, but was always very laid back, had all the skills. But I suppose when you get involved with a Kilkenny club, it can kind of shake you out of that.
Absolutely.
I couldn't get the best out of him anyway. I knew the talent was there, and but he had a great game on Paddy Deegan as well. Like, he drifted off Paddy Deegan, and he created a lot of the ball in for Bill Sheehan in the first half.
That's right.
Clever ball. And then the two sideline cuts were like something we'll see in the US Open come the weekend ahead.
And they're worth more than a point, like, because they were nearly 65 yards out, and it's becoming a feature. Like, Matt Coleman from Blarney / UCC has done it umpteen times already this year, and it is a big feature. If you have a good sideline player or sideline cut man, it's definitely worth a couple of points during any game at the moment. But like, there was another mention there for Owen O'Shea, who played for Loughlin Gaels. I thought he was outstanding, and it just shows again the Kilkenny, you know, fellas unknown, there's forwards, and your men, Owen Cody, you know, and Brian Cody, and we talk about Ballyhale in a minute, like, they were super as well on Saturday, like, you know, one for the big, strong fella, the other for light, but also very effective, very quick, really, really good forward, Owen Cody.
Yeah, and, like, go back to the first game again, though, you know, and I suppose we were texting each other, watching it a little bit, you know, that where was it going, and like, there's no doubt about it that I think Lad Nolan one wing back and Ollie Walsh the other wing back, Mikey Walsh's son, and then Killian Buckley, really at the start of the game, Killian Buckley looked to be the Killian Buckley that has suffered now awful with injuries.
Correct.
But really seemed to be back to himself. But just like your take on it, your O'Loughlin's moved on O'Shea on him, a very quick player, I think ex-UCD. And like, he came off with 6 points in play, like, and we spoke to Brian Hogan about this last week, about this roving 11 and this running 11 everywhere. Now, Buckley held and Dixborough win. I know all is forgotten when you win, but like, I was just saying it to Mark there last night, like, I said, one of my worst days in Croke Park, Brian McAvoy got 4 points off me in an Ireland semi-final, and my mother would hardly feed me, like, for the week. You know, my men scoring 4 points. But now, has the game changed, Ger, in your opinion, that way that your centre-back, like, did he... And like, Brian Hogan did say that his theory was sit back but play a bit of cat and mouse, go forward at times with him. But Owen O'Shea came off with 6. Now, maybe he didn't get all 6 off Killian because he started on the wing for sure.
Yeah.
But he definitely got 4 of the 6, if not 5. It is a dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the game has gone down the last number of years. certainly centre forwards nowadays, like the people in the olden days, maybe centre forward was there to break the ball, you know, and the wing forwards and midfielders coming through, getting on that breaking ball. But certainly nowadays, a lot of teams, some teams especially, are putting guys, you know, guys who are good athletes with a good head in them and well able to hurl and, you know, can take their scores and play off the centre forward and not play the, you know, your typical centre forward role. But again, I suppose you go up to Kilkenny and you see TJ Reid playing centre forward with Kilkenny, like, and he's going nowhere other than centre forward. But again, it depends, I suppose, on the players that you have. And if you've got a guy who's very good that can play that role, it certainly asks a lot of questions of the teams in relation to their centre back. Does he follow? But I think most teams now will get their centre back to hold on the D, and bring back a midfielder or bring back one of the forwards to try match up with the guy who's doing the roving and that kind of stuff.
You would have done that winning the Fitz, Gerard, with Paddy. You would have let Paddy sit and hold, and you'd have brought a midfielder back to kind of cover the outgoing centre forward. Like, it's very evident in colleges hurling, and also I think that's kind of where it came from, this roving 11. You know, the old style 11 of maybe my time, the PJ O'Connells, maybe who would you have had there, Mark, centre forward? You'd have
Fergal McCormack,
I was going to say, from Mallow, and right back to the Timmy Crowley, the Donny O'Connells, you know, these guys. Whereas the colleges, I think, brought an awful lot of this into play.
Yeah, you know, it was a tactic that came in the last couple of years, like, when, you know, with UCC that time. Again, I think it's down to the players that you have, Dalo. Like, Paddy O'Loughlin is able to play that role that we had very, very well. And we had Owen Murphy sitting as a marking centre back, and Paddy got on a loose ball. And again, I suppose the quality. If you've quality forwards, then when you lose the centre forward, if he's going to go back to pitch, it does open up space for the other five forwards. And if you've got guys up there who are all very good individually and are able to, you know, I suppose the likes of Conway and Kingston and these guys, they look for space, they want space. And if you can get that ball into space, you're getting them into scoring zones. So again, I think it's a lot down to the player playing that role. He's comfortable doing it and he's able to do it. And again, I suppose it forms part of a system then that your team becomes used to, the extra man at the back and you're short one on top.
There's still the lock and the key positions, as far as I'm concerned, the centre back and the centre forward. Yeah. You will find in a lot of games, if your centre forward dominated the opposition centre back, you're probably going a long way to winning the game. I don't think in the modern game you can get a centre back to follow everywhere because it just creates too much space. You have to have a plan. But like we said last week, if your centre forward is coming off the centre back, right, you have to make sure your players are using that ball well. They don't kill him. Like I said before, how many, I won't use the word, players just lump ball into the six box and kill a team, right? So once the team is coached well, once there's a good plan in place, a centre forward coming after centre back, it works every time. But the players have to be good and have to use the ball well. But still, the lock and the key position for me.
And you know what, though, lads? Isn't it a case, if you win, everything is all right? Tony Kelly played 11 for Ballyea yesterday. He hit 1-8 from play. Like, I was texting lads saying, would they not try and get some handle on him and get someone to follow him? You know, maybe Paddy Donnellan wouldn't have the legs anymore to follow him, but somebody to close that down. Like, even in the quarterfinal, Kilmaley managed to hold him maybe 3 or 4 from play. But once the Mills win with a last-minute goal in the pint...
You've got to be talking about the one he missed there, like, there. You said, like, they missed three. That again, you know, you score 1-8.
Wrong of me as well. And I'm on about even the goal chance and the goalie. Like, I mean, 1-8, what more can you do? But certainly. Just one thing that struck me while you were talking there, Ger, and a quick one on this now. There's no way Shane Kingston can rock up for UCC now, can he?
No, he's senior with Douglas. Once you play senior in Cork. Senior and Cork. And again, back to the point, I suppose you mentioned there a couple of guys that you would say that might be brought in from, you know, a couple of Billy Sheehan or whatever it is, or these guys who might be available. I don't think that, like, the lads are going to do that, because he never break the spirit of the team now. If you were to parachute in 3 or 4 guys that might be able to play, I think they walked off a squad at the start of the year that were committed to playing it. And I think at this stage now they'll stick with them. And even though there'll be other players there, there'll be a couple of Kilkenny guys there, Aidan Nolan's in UCC. You know, Tom Kenny was in UCC for a while. All those guys, you know, are all eligible to play. You know, the two Boylans as well. But that's not going to happen. I think the lads have committed to the guys who are there, and they'll stick with that. And I think that's the right call.
just depends, like, if it's a petty Cadell type player, you might be willing to bend the rules slightly. But okay, we'll take your mind. But look at lads, just to finish on that one before we go on to the, I suppose, the game of the weekend, is the only way we call it. Two brilliant goals by Dixborough. Aidan Nolan converted, he's only 22 or 3, I think. Someone on the extended Kilkenny panel as well. Like, and I was inquiring, I actually text Jackie, what age is this guy? Like, what a goal, lads. Sold Paddy Deegan, the dummy.
Defender, isn't he?
Yeah, like straight running now. Seemed to pick up a fairly serious knock. Hope it's not too serious for his own sake. And then Shane Stapleton with the killer goal, obviously. But got that ball, lads, 50 yards out. But and again, saw the gap and just...
Yeah, same thing I was saying to you about Kilkenny. The minute they get the ball and they get a sight of goal, they're just going straight down your throat. And
you comparing to this to a couple of the Cork forwards, Mark?
It's just every forward in Kilkenny wants to take you on. I think there's something that would be a style of play that a lot of the forwards in Cork, not all, would be inclined to, when they turn their man and they see a chance of getting a point, they knock the ball over the bear. You know? Maybe into the future that will change. We just have to
wait. I would agree with you there, Mark. I think that there is a slight DNA difference. Like in the Kilkenny forwards, they do have goal on their mind for the first couple of seconds. No doubt about it.
But TJ, I do think, and George saw this in a couple of the games over the weekend, right? And it happened in the Sales game a couple of times. A forward was racing through with another player actually on his shoulder. And he didn't part. And like that's the one thing I think. And part of that is because referees haven't been allowed, they're not allowing the game to advance. So sometimes when a fella's back, he gets a foul and the referee will blow a free and give a free in. Whereas if you leave it develop, forwards will get used to saying, listen, he's going to keep going. I need to support him. I need to follow the man in with the ball and then part. And I think if you get 3 or 4 or 5 years of that, of constant seeing it happen, it actually becomes, I suppose, part of nature. And I think... that is happening in Kilkenny for the last 2 decades, as far as I can see. And you go back to the senior team in their palm. The first 10 minutes, they go at you straight away and they go for goals. And TG, you go back to the Limerick final you played when Eddie Brendan was on Seamus Hickey. He was just going in. Whether he was stopped, that's fine. But I just think we have certainly in the last number of years in Cork, it has been take the free or take the point. Whereas I think the difference in Kilkenny is that the referee will allow it to develop and will allow it to play, and the belting is unreal in it. But goals are a big thing, and we're lacking that, I think, you know.
But on that, Malcolm, we're moving on to the second game. Like, there is no... Now, they have lost Adrian Mullen, young hurler of the year. They've lost one of the greatest men for me, and Mick Finlay. Maybe the legs were given a bit, but still anchored it last year to win the All-Ireland Club at centre-back. But has there anyone in the history of club hurling had a 14 and 11 like TJ and Colin Finlay? Like, I mean, tis just an incredible outlet, isn't it? I mean, they were struggling, concede 126, and yet the two byes every time it went up, and the telepathy between them, like for the third goal, like you know,
Colin Finlay to get 2-5 from play, you know, and he's 8 county medals won. He's 2 All-Ireland clubs and he's 4 All-Ireland seniors in his back pocket. And he's hurling like a gazelle at the moment. Like, and it typified the first ball that actually went in. Your man, the fullback from James Stevens, wore the hurling off the back of his arm. But he caught the ball and he held it and he turned it and he created a goal chance. Like, so, like, there's a physicality in that game up there. It's ferocious. But, like, I know James O'Connor Joxer, who's in charge of Ballyhale this year, and he just says, like, their commitment, Anthony, is phenomenal. The commitment to training. They train at 7 o'clock. He's there at 6. He's putting out the cones at 6 o'clock. And he rocks TJ Reid like a 10 past 6 every night without fail. And, you know, he'd be on the table getting a rub down. He'd come out then. He'll strike maybe 50 frees. And, like, he's just a machine. Like, and he has done it for the last decade. And in my opinion, he's the best hurler in the country without question because he has it all. He has a great hand out of the air. He's great balance, striking left and right, and a free taker. He has all of the components of to be the best hurler at the moment. Like, Patrick Horgan is a brilliant, brilliant free taker, brilliant stick man. But winning the ball out of the air on a regular basis wouldn't be a feature of his. Joe Kenning, brilliant stick man again. But he doesn't get around and do the work that TJ Reid does. No way, like, in my opinion.
No doubt. And TJ, I don't know what stage that Kristen was at, whether you had half... a crate of Guinness drink and a half bottle of whiskey, as John Kinney famously said at Bridie's christening. But
I was going well.
I tell you that, it was one of the best club games I ever saw. And that's fair statement now, this hour of my life, I tell you. And James Stevens, you have to give massive credit to them.
Yeah. I think James Stevens were lucky not to get something out of the game. They definitely deserve it as far as I was concerned. Like, if there was a coaching workshop to be done with clubs up and down the country, I think this game could form part of it. The work rate, the energy, the refereeing, the physicality, the sportsmanship at the end of it, Dalo, the scores, the finishing, it definitely had it all. The response from James Stevens, I suppose my thoughts and our thoughts in the room was when Ballyhale got those early two goals, was this was going to be another kind of quarterfinal job.
2-8-6, like 2-8-6.
Yeah, like get the next 9 points or something in a row. Some of the ball play, like, as I said, the refereeing definitely helps. Like, you know, Patrick Mullen, that's what you'll be ever advocating somebody get sent off. He probably would have got sent off about four times in some other county with his high tackles. And even, I did think, you know, maybe you can say to me, technically he was right. I thought the referee's call to give that decision to win the game. Like, if I was involved with James Stevens, right, knowing my mentality, I probably would have been inside this 21-yard line myself, Dale, like, there's no greater certainty.
You would have been above beside Cody.
I would. The two things that stood out for me was what Mark touched on there was like TJ Reid, like for Colin Fennelly's goal. How many players would have gone for the goal themselves or knocked that ball over the bar to play a super ball to Colin Fennelly? Great finish too. We can't underestimate that. But I'll just come back to the one play where the James Stevens man was going through, right? He had a couple of options, right? He could have put the ball over the bar from two up, he could have squared it for his teammate. Or basically, he just took the option to go. Now, like what you said there, you win the game, he scores the goal himself. It's brilliant, right? And the other thing too was, which the referee did miss, right? I'm not sure if you saw it in the replays, the cornerback did sort of early, right? So what it should have been come back for a free, right? So small things win games, but as a spectacle, as a club hurling game, to watch it on Saturday evening, magnificent. Brilliant advertisement for club hurling, the quality of it. Fantastic. And even listen to the managers afterwards, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I know all the likes of Tony Lean and them were raving there about some Kerry football match between Dr. Crokes and a big amalgamation again, East and West Kerry joined up or something. But like this lads, geez, this was just, I didn't see the likes of it. And you know what, Ballyhale, they won't be able to go for three in a row All-Irelands, but they're going for three in a row Kilkenny's and they will have a final though with Dixborough. They will have a final on their hands, I tell you. I was really, really impressed with the standard. And I will say this for James Stevens. Two lads just out of minor in the last 2 years, Conor Forward's own Gilfile, Tig Dwyer, like did a midfield of Conor Brown and Keane Kinney. Jeez, lads, they like guys that I hadn't maybe taken much notice of, Matthew Root again. They had magnificent games. And
some goal for James Stevens, wasn't it? God. Like he had brilliant to aim at there. He wouldn't even see it, I said. Brilliant goal.
And with fellas like Joey Holden and Richie Reid and Baron Down, you're like, jeez, like, that was a brilliant goal. And like, look, I think they were, you know, I think Cody, the little spit in the hand, I suppose, not allowed under the COVID restrictions, but he'd be kind of saying the village won't be too long before they'll be back again, his own crowd. And if he takes a step back from Kilkenny, whenever, we don't know when that'll be, he won't mind having a few of these young fellas at club level if he was to go back and give the club a year or two. And what a final to look forward to there.
Wouldn't it be great now if the, hopefully there's some announcements during the week that the numbers going to matches maybe that might be lifted? Is there any geek about that?
Well, there's geeks about all sorts of things, but I showed you the picture last week of the Antrim semi-finals. And I put it up on Twitter, but the final was played between two of the Glens teams above in Ballycastle yesterday. There was more than 400 people there anyway. And I'll just leave it at that. Like, the atmosphere was electric. And it was the envy of other people, you know, who were stuck in pubs, by the way, ordering pizzas and sipping pints and watching their own teams. And there's an awful argument for members of clubs to be allowed in, at least, you know, that stadiums like the park and all our parks, you know, all our county grounds.
Definitely in the county grounds, like, and I mean, like, I suppose there was a couple of games that were shown where people were congregating at the county grounds and maybe sitting beside each other because they know each other. But I think if the steward said to people, listen, lads, would you ever spread out there over the course? And that's all. Supporters, I think, would take that on board if they were allowed in. If you could get it back up to 500 or 1,000 people, like, there's no reason why the county grounds can't take 1,000 people for, and like you're getting down to the semi-finals and finals of championships right now in all grades. It would be great to see that happening over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I look at it. I've been obeying the guidelines and not going to mass since March, but we had an all-anniversary mass yesterday morning for my brother-in-law, Martin. It was a year gone from us, and we miss him awful. But you know what? The church in Kilmaley was properly, you could sit in this seat, you couldn't sit in the next seat. And you know what? There was about 80 people in the church, which could take comfortably a few hundred, I suppose. You know, so it's not rocket science either. We could... close off the areas and family units could sit together and all that. But look, lads, we better move on because I suppose we've huge stuff to look forward to next week. The Limerick final, TJ. Will it be a bridge too far for Doon again?
Something different about them.
Riz?
You know, Tony Ward is definitely working something there with them. Like I said, I've questioned them. I thought they should have a senior county one before now. I did think as well that the last of the two boys was mad, like to think that... that they could beat Kilmallock without Richie English and Dara Donovan, you would have said no chance, but they've done. And if you go back to their previous game and tell you that when they played Partick well, Gillane got a super goal to get a draw. Doon were definitely the better side. But that said, Napiershi will be favourites. And with the player power that they have, crikey, hard to see past them.
Yeah, the spread is... If they had the two byes, you'd very much say 50-50.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said, Kevin Downes has only 12 stitches in the finger. So that's
he'll be
that's
fine, not, yeah.
He'll be fine. So, yeah, we probably expect... But Doon have been tearing up the script, so maybe a little bit like O'Callaghan's Mills and Clare, you'd never know what way that'd go. Obviously, lads, TJ, you have your semi-finals in Galway. You'll be expected to come through easily. And the other one is the tricky one.
The two semi-finals there are on Sunday in Salt Hill, so we probably have the magic winds blowing straight down the pitch to deal with, yeah, which always makes a game of two halves. Capitagal have been in the county semi-final for the last 3 years in a row, and they'll be trying to go a step further, so I wouldn't ever dream that this was going to be easy. This is a tricky game, but look, we probably will be slight favourites. Things have gone well for us, and I mean the no excuses camp there, as you well know where that camp is. The second one, impressed with both teams the last day. Loughrea had a great win over Mellows, but I thought Turlochmore looked to have something more. They were moving well. Di Burke really powered on the middle of the field in the second half. I think Turlochmore will take a lot of beating in that semi final.
Okay, so that's a Thomas's Turlochmore final from TJ. You gotta love it, like.
Thanks, Dillo. Thanks, Dillo.
So we'll hopefully have you next Monday on the show. No, but look, I suppose something we didn't touch on last week, and my fault as the presenter in some ways. And we'll come back to another massive final, I suppose, local to us here, very near us in Tip in a minute. But the Dublin final is intriguing as well. And we didn't touch on the semi-finals last week. But a Ballyboden team that looked horribly poor against Kilmacud in the first round have really got their act together. And fellas like Stephen Heine are even back in the fold. And Joe Fortune, I think, has them ticking. And they come up against, of course, the mighty Kula, who were heavily involved in football again yesterday. While Bowden were involved in football, they wouldn't have had too many crossover fellas. So that's a massive game in Dublin to be looked forward to next weekend again, Ginger.
Yeah, that's a big game for both clubs. As you said, Bowden have a very experienced team. A lot of lads who've been there for quite a number of years and a very, very, you know, very, very strong club. And Kula, you know, we all know what they did for, you know, the number of years with Matthew Kenny in charge. But they've responded again. And I think when you have someone like Conor Callaghan inside in the full forward line there, he's going to cause trouble no matter who he's playing against. So I think that's the big challenge for Bowden. I think if they can hold him and cut the supply of ball to him.
Yeah, I know the supply, but would you see probably James Madden being given the task there? Like he'd be the natural fella in my head, maybe.
Yeah, he's a very good man marker. Like he'd be probably, you know, both lads would know each other very well from going up along. Madden is a hardy, tough bit of stuff that probably of the guys that they have would be.
And he's athletic. That's why he's very athletic. What you have to be for Conn, like.
Well, he'd be also prepared, I think, as well. He's a natural defender. He's, you know what I mean? He'll defend, he'll know, get the ball, keep it out of Conn's hand if possible. Like, you know, and I think if that, they'll need that to happen. If they have a chance of winning it, they'll need to quieten Conn, as you say. Both in the fact on the scoreboard, but also in the supply of ball coming into him. So Hesse Green's to be a good game. Looking forward to seeing it if there's featuring, and hard one to call, Dale.
hard one to call. Yeah, I wouldn't write off Bowden. Momentum is a lot, and around finals, especially, as I found out to my cost, are very hard to beat. You know, teams that get to finals, Six Mile Bridge are a bit like this as well, and Clare, like, they've great, once they get there, you might catch them in a quarter or a semi or earlier, but if they get in around the final, they could be hard to beat, and Bowden would have that reputation. As Inky, no, they'd be underdogs. I'd have a grow, obviously, for Kilmiley in that one. That's another one, Causeway and Kilmiley, that I would love if the sanctions were lifted to be trying to ring someone there in Kilmiley. I'm no word with John Myler, maybe St. John, can you snake me in there? I let on I'm doing stats or something just to see, because the rivalry there and that North Kerry whole aspect is huge. And I that'll be great as well. But I suppose, look, ye call it the little All-Ireland, but I suppose the man at the top left-hand corner of my screen will have to get a say on this one. The All-Ireland Champions County Final is on this weekend. Larry, it's a huge game, and what a club and what a year Loughmore Castellani are having, Larry.
Yeah, incredible. They marched down at the weekend into the football final as well. So handy enough by all. I didn't see it now, but 18 points to 111 over Mile Rovers.
They still all played, like, all the dual fellas played.
So yeah, so four, I think they expect maybe 13 or 14 of them.
Amazing going, like.
So, yeah, it's great going, in fairness.
And
yeah.
For me, I was very impressed with them now. With the misfortune doing our few accumulators, I put in Nina, as we announced last week, and our accumulators are falling by the wayside fairly rapid. Belly cost us again yesterday. But anyway, is there, like, for me, I was very impressed with their style of play against Nina in terms of the teamwork, in terms of the know-how, in terms of John McGrath, the Roving 11. Is there ferocious pressure on Kildangan to get it done, Larry? In North Tip, we'll say. Like, this is the third final now in 5 years. Will they have better teams in years to come?
Pressure from themselves, I suppose, yeah. I mean, they're coming, as you say, 3 or 4 years. And they have a lot of, lads, as you're talking about lads who might make an impact and make a breakthrough at county level. I mean, they have a lot of lads who are on the verge of breaking into the Tip team as well, you know. So, like, it's a platform for those boys as well. But yeah, I suppose there's probably a lot more you would think would handle maybe the big day a bit easier. But I would say Kildangan, if you're to take it as a game on its own merits, Kildangan would be slight favourites, I would say.
Yeah.
If you're to take the pressure out of it.
Weather very good at the moment as well, which will make for a classic in this one, TJ. I think, you know, yeah, the McGraths will love this. The Kildangan din of all, they've really good first touch hurlers and spray the ball. And you know, I think the weather we're having even this week that's promised a bit of an Indian summer, and will make for a fantastic spectacle in this one.
Great forecast for the week ahead. And this game's on TG4. And it's
yes. Yes, are you serious?
Yeah, because there's no danger you'd spend the £8 to stream it. Like,
there's no way I'll give the Tipperary County Board €8. Not a chance.
Yeah, but again,
I drive up and get the ladder out, to be honest with it.
So, Mark, you can watch the Limerick one on Saturday night, and you can watch the Tipperary one on Sunday on live TV. But great, again, to have a match of this calibre coming up. I suppose the sustainability of all these games for the GAA, where people not paying in, is going to come into question down the road. But look, for the neutral hurling fan all around the country to be watching these caliber of players playing with their club, again, brilliant for the GAA and brilliant for the club player. Like, yeah,
brilliant, suppose, for the club player.
Yeah, brilliant for the club player to have all these players around.
Yeah, that is the big message, is that the club player is front and centre now of GAA for the last couple of months and will be for another maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And, like, he's been the forgotten player for the last decade because the intercounty scene has taken over. And, you know, we'll be having a pod that says sometime on you know, the GPA's decision or the stats that came out that the intercounty players want a condensed season over 5 months. Like, that's a big, big statement. And I think the GA are moving towards that all the time. But the club player and the promotion of the club game has been brilliant in the lockdown.
But in the main two, Dillo, we're getting the quality, as we saw there last weekend in Kilkenny. Like, that was, I suppose, one of the questions you would have asked is, could the club bring that sort of quality entertainment that we're used to from the intercounty scene? And I think that the answer has to be yes. Now, we have two big matches coming the weekend. Can they bring it? But for me, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think so. And Let's listen to MacLanders there. You'd never think he lifted Ian McCarthy at all. Like you'd say, it was all about club, and it is all about both. Like, and we all know where we came from, Mark, and where we go back to, and that's it.
And Anthony, unless you have a vibrant club championship, you're not going to have a good inter-county team. It just doesn't wash, as far as I'm concerned. You can't just bring a good inter-county team if you don't have good players and a good club championship, in my opinion.
Yeah, and look, even a tip there. You know, you have, I think the what do they call it, Larry? This the one the Kenyans didn't win, Ryan
Peel.
Shamsurian. We'll be able to see if we could see it, we won't be able to see it unless we stream it. I've no problem paying the £8, no, mind you, but we will see the great Owen Kelly again, will we?
Yeah, exactly. And Paul Curran as well. And of course, Ken's boys, Laura, are there as well.
Correct, and Bonner and all that brings as well, and you know, that's, I think they have also struck on a great system, a system that had a lot of problems with North, and was hard. Yeah. I often said it was harder to be knocked out of the Tipperary Championship than it was to climb Everest at one stage, you know, with the connotations. Back to County a little bit, as we look forward to Tip, and that's, as you said, TJ, fantastic. The TG Carr have that as well the weekend. Gerard, the green light was given Saturday for the All-Ireland, but you mightn't have a Hurley carrier to pop into Mark Coleman in front of you. If he's racing up the wing and someone breaks his Hurley and you're there on the line, you mightn't have a Hurley. You better have a few Hurleys yourself.
Will leave Sully do that job. Sully be the man with the Hurley.
I'd be afraid of Sully holding a lot of Hurleys. You leave no Sully, leave Sully out of this with the holding the Hurleys. But come here, what do you make of the conditions, the dressing rooms at least are going to be allowed to be opened in some form for an old shower for fellas driving 40 and 50 minutes or maybe back to work for all the world in Dublin or in Kilkenny or wherever they're based for various counties. And we down to 11 mentors allowed in with a team, panel of 32 for training, only allowed to train or a match 3 times a week. I think I'm right, am I? Mark, yes, you've studied these better, have you?
3 sessions, 2 training sessions and a match. No overnight stays. 32 players allowed at training. 26 players allowed only at match day. A significant thing, I think, where possible, you must travel separately to training and to matches. 11 backroom staff. And as you said, the dressing rooms are back. Now, they said they're back from autumn and winter. So that's an interesting one.
Yeah, county finals might be able to be using them as well. So
yeah, well, does the question come out now? Like, there's, we can allow dressing rooms for the inter-county fellas, but we can't allow them for the clubs.
Yeah,
and you know this is only an inter-county roadmap now. Yeah. It's not a club roadmap.
I know, but you know the way after the county final, you'd like to be putting on the glad rags for the night, TJ. Do you know?
Yeah, but do I not say that in all these, there's fucking some mad rules and regulations coming out. I was watching a rugby game the other weekend where a fella came off. He was inside in the middle of a scrum there for most of the match with his head up and the other his backside, right? And then when he comes off, he's to put on a mask, like, right? Some of these GA rules, they ain't going to work, like. They ain't going to work. These inter-county squads have their backroom teams and their squads in place since the start of the year. Now they've come along, the rules are changing. And look, in the main, they'll all play along and they'll play the political game, say, I'm going with this. But look, you and me know, that ain't going to happen. So, hey, some of these teams now have 11 people in their stats team at the mind anywhere else. Like, so,
I know, but TJ, like, the government said that they'll fund this for the GAA. So if you flout it and it goes back, will your county be cut astray? So will county board say we can't afford to be cut off from the government funding? Like,
yeah, possibly, but there's more than one way to skin a cat. And I think that guys will find out. They'll find their way around it, you know. And
a dear manner, here we come, like, is it?
There's going to be certain aspects of that. And I do think, like, if you look at most coaching teams now, like what they have on the pitch and the level that they've gone to, like, you do need all these people. And you do need significant help. And, like, even with 32 players, like, if you've got 2, 3, 4 players injured at any one time, they might be able to play a game. You want to have your 15 and 15 in training. Like, that's difficult. If you were into county management, Dillo, if you were managing Clare next week, whatever it is, would you play by the rules?
We'll choose the Thursday and a match Sunday morning, yeah?
Okay, well, that's fair. Yeah.
Well, we have an inter-county coach come selector here on the screen in front of us now. And you're like, you know, obviously you're going to be delayed more than nearly any other county in terms of the county championships. I know you can go back training this week, but you won't have everyone available to you. Can you see yourself playing a couple of matches, like, if you're to stick to those guidelines, obviously TJ has suggested maybe the counties won't, and that's fair enough. I can see where he's coming from there as well. But like, what would you possibly think of that you'd play a couple of Leinster counties maybe coming up to the 24th?
That's probably the only real options for us, Dillo, in that kind of situation, because obviously, with the Munster Championship coming up, you've got very limited opportunities as to who you can play. So obviously, the obvious place to go to would be go to Leinster and see what the story is there. Yeah, it is quite restrictive, as TJ said. Like, it's a situation where, you know, you've got guys there who are giving their time, both players and backroom team, and now all of a sudden, you know, there's a chance that some players won't be brought to matches, and some, you know, backroom team won't be brought to matches, but. It's very difficult, you know. We're just, you know, these guidelines only came out Saturday or yesterday, just trying to get our head around what it entails. Like, you know, and 3 times a week is 2 matches or a game or 3 sessions a week, you know what I mean? That's limiting. But the positive thing certainly is the showers situation, dressing rooms, that heading into winter time, you know, I thought was ludicrous, a situation where you go to matches, club matches now, and fellas talking off on the side of the pitch. At least weather has been good enough for that to happen. But heading into the winter, and you guys travelling 40 or 50 miles after a wet night's training for an hour and a half in the pitch, and they have to drive all the way home without having a shower, I think that made absolutely no sense. So I think there's some ones there that need to be looked at, and maybe a bit of common sense should prevail in relation to the situation like that, where we have dressing rooms. And if it's done properly, if it's monitored properly, and if all the guidelines are adhered to, I think that can be done. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be different. Different situations. Again, I suppose the games behind closed doors, as we can see from club matches, like, you know what I mean? It's definitely the atmosphere has been impacted. And, you know, there's talks of maybe increased crowds at the bigger venues for county championship matches. I think that'd be very, very welcome, even though it'd be a nightmare for tickets.
Yeah. Don't ring me, says you. Yeah. Well, I think this year, anyway, we'd always be making excuses that we can't get them, but this year, for sure, we'd be able to say, look, sorry, I hope I'm doing commentary somewhere or doing something to get in.
Dale, can you see your former goalkeeping teammates playing specifically by those rules?
Who's that? Tommy Hager, he used to be Clarecastle goalie while I was there. Noel Considine. Noel Considine is actually part of the Wexford backroom. He's the goalkeeping coach there, so he's involved with Davy as well. He goes to Wexford there as well, 3 times a week. So look, as you said, if we can see a way around it, I suppose, and we'd nearly all do it, I suppose, if we thought we'd get away with it. But I think it'll be interesting to see what take the county boards and the county chairman. And you know, the CEOs, the secretaries, full-time secretaries, and all that. We haven't seen the finer detail of what came out of that meeting. We listened to Ned Quinn in Kilkenny saying it was very positive, and they're willing to help with the funding of the expenses for lads driving to training, driving to matches, etc. But we haven't seen about what the implications are if a team flout the laws and are caught flouting the laws, like, you know.
Yeah, and like Michael Duigenan has gone on record, Dale, earlier on in the season, and he's probably called out John Horn, I think, at one stage about inter-county teams training, and there being ramifications. So, like, I think you might be right that there may be financial sanctions on teams who maybe go above the numbers in terms of backroom staff or players of training or match day numbers. And it's very difficult. And George pointed out that you may have a number of injured players that are not available to you that you should still be carrying. But I suppose, like, for the championships to go ahead, every inter-county setup has got to be conscious that, you know, you got to play your part in the whole pandemic scenario and just play by the rules, I suppose, really is the most important thing. And like at the start of these pods earlier on the year, Anthony, we didn't think we'd have a championship. We do have a championship, and there's no point in upsetting that now, you know.
Yeah, look, and that's all to be, and we'll have loads of time to talk about that, I think, when all the club stuff is finished, and we'll be keeping an eye and listening for the rumours, and Jack Cunningham will tell us nothing, rightly so. And I think, look, lads, just for the week that's in it, and I'm doing a bit of a chat with three of your teammates, Ger, and you were part of that unique occasion 30 years ago where the Rebels brought home the double. Talk of doing it this year as well, mind you, but we'll see how that pans out. But no, I think there's a big initiative for the hospice in Marymount this week to go red for Cork. Myself and TJ might decline. Now, we might contribute, all right, TJ, because it is a great cause. But to go red, I think, on the 16th, a couple of days' time. And the main thing, I think, we could give off the message, contribute for Marymount. They do massive work, and they're also going, TJ's after producing his Liverpool hat in the background, and no doubt Larry has it recorded. So there's a bit of red involved there. They got off to a lucky start against Leeds United, but I have nothing to say about soccer this weekend. But lads, I will say, you know, that is a great cause, and if people could contribute, and lads, again, the paper, like, 32 pages of sport, and if you're a GA fan in particular, if you're a Tour de France fan, if you're a racing fan, the Examiner has it all for you this weekend, and a marathon podcast here this morning. But with so much to talk about, and again, what we mentioned to look forward to for next weekend, it's going to be screens and televisions, and we'll be like the granddad on Only Fools and Horses. Remember the lad that had the two tellies? We'd be like him, and we'll dedicate today's show to one Pop Crowley from Blarney. Thanks, guys, for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
23 Cormac O'Mahony, bats it down, good ball. Pop, you need to win it, Pop. You're doing it. Rides the challenge. Pops it over the head. Pop by name, Pop by nature. Oh, Barry's one in. Yeah! Pop Crowley! Yes! We're back leveling this game! Come on, Danny! Come on, Danny! What a goal! What a goal! You won't see that in action replay, but Pop Crowley picked up a ball. The man tried to cream him, he rode it, he popped the ball over the man's head. He ran through. No way should he win for the goal, but he drives it into the top corner of the net. Next ball is vital. Up we go again. Who's going to win it? Joe Jordan is there. Out comes Sean Crowley, his brother. The two Crowleys now are coming into their own. Joe Jordan on the ball. Joe winds up. It's a big one. Colin and Paddy. Colin and Paddy. Paddy's onto it. Paddy's onto it. Paddy's over the bar! Paddy's over the bar! Woo! Paddy's over the bar. Come on again. Get the back, Bernie. Ballincollig goes short. Ballincollig goes short. Colin tries to block. Ah! What a game! What a game! What a game! What a game! I'll tell you this, you just can never, ever give up in a hurling match.